Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about the news and links we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Take two.
Welcome,
my geeklings.
Welcome back to
Geeks On, now with more thiamine.
Thiamine?
Thiamine.
That just sounds dirty.
I know.
Hey, how was your guys' geek week?
Well fortified.
Yeah, I wasn't yakking.
Yeah, I was.
Did you get sick too?
No, Aaron was sick.
I had
a Chinese New Year.
I had food poisoning too. Killed me.
What was eating?
You know, they say that how you spend your Chinese New Year says something about the rest of your year.
Year? Yeah. What does that say, man?
Uh-oh.
Oops.
You can be yakking your entire way through the year. Yeah, Kat and I got lanterns. We hung them up, and we had a big old Chinese New Year do. We went to a Chinese Islamic restaurant.
It's so strange.
But you're Chinese.
Yeah.
So you should be doing more of that than
Damn
me.
Damn straight, man.
I'm Polynesian, but I've never had a suckling pig, so let's
I've
say
been
that.
Playing,
That's not what I heard.
I've been playing Geometry Wars.
I have no idea what that means.
I've been playing Geometry Wars as my Geek Week. My Xbox 360 has been just filled with Geometry Wars.
Is that that weird, like, asteroids-looking thing that you have
Yeah,
on?
It's like Robotron meets asteroids meets popping bubble wrap.
I finished Shadows of the Colossus.
Congratulations.
Woo-hoo! It's a prequel.
I know. Do you guys want to close your ears on this one?
No, go ahead.
Play it?
I want to play.
Spoiler.
I want to play.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
I don't know.
Minor spoiler.
Yeah. Come yeah. On. I mean,
it's been out.
I've been waiting for somebody to talk to you about this, but yeah. I mean, is
it's
that what we're supposed
prequel.
To infer from
it
that?
It must be a prequel.
To what?
Ico.
To Ico. Yeah.
Okay.
There's this at the very, very end, like the last 10 seconds. Of
well,
the
when
last
you see him possessed, and I saw his horns, I kind of went. Hey.
Oh, I didn't see that. I just saw it during the
when
baby.
When he gets possessed, he turns into an oni. When a Japanese oni demon has these short little snub Bambi horns.
Okay. I didn't get it until the baby was born. And I was
I'm
like,
just a
holy.
Demon wandering through the forest.
Yeah.
And you smell like a flower.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got the same thing. So I can't wait for their next probably PlayStation 3 game.
Should be good.
Speaking and does it look awesome?
It's beautiful. It is a
crazy.
Beautiful game.
Yeah.
That
Shadows
last,
of Colossus.
The last Colossus was a bit of a pain in my ass. But
yeah, how many times do you have to climb it?
Well, I'm looking forward to trying this out.
Five or nine. What?
I'm looking forward to trying this out. This sounds
awesome.
Great.
I must have climbed it like 15, 20 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I've been playing X-Men Legends because I got sick of waiting for you people to get online.
I was. So. Never mind. I was there. Just not the same time as you, obviously.
Well, I'm sort of disappointed in some of the characters.
I like it how we both look at Pete, and Pete looks at us like, what?
Why don't you guys hook your gamer tag to, like, your phone pager so that when someone invites you to a game, it just pages you?
Okay.
We just stared at him like he's talking Mac speak.
You just go online to Xbox.com and link your gamer tag to a Microsoft AOL, whatever their Microsoft Messenger.
I don't know if
is
I'm
this
ready
one of
to
them thar Microsoft widgets you talk about.
I don't know if I'm ready to out myself as that much of a geek. I mean, if I'm in the middle of an audition and then suddenly like, my phone goes off. Sorry, one of my
yeah, I could be like testing a video game when someone pages me to play a video game.
Well, only have it set to invites only.
Okay.
So that someone can invite you when you're not online.
Should we introduce ourselves? We haven't introduced ourselves in a very long time.
All right. Well, Don, why don't you do that?
Hi, I'm Don Marshall. I am a writer and video game professional living in beautiful scenic Hollywood, and I am a geek.
Hi, I am Matt King. I am an actor here in Hollywood, and I, too, am a geek.
Hi, I am Pete Robinson, and I am a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
And I am Aaron Hendricks, a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles as well. Hello.
He's and a you geek. Are a what?
I'm a big geek, yes.
Now, why is it every time you're, I'm Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a...
He's in.
Because I'm an art. I'm like a. I'm a creative. I do all sorts of things.
I am a Renaissance man.
I think it's because he's changing his lifestyle.
I'm a Renaissance geek.
I make my money off of doing creative things. So sometimes it changes.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but we live close enough to Santa Monica Boulevard where it worries me.
How about some geek news?
Dum-da-dum. Can I hit
it?
All right. Geek
real
news.
Quick. This is not a geek news story, but I think a geek had to have done it.
All right. Here's the stretch.
This guy trips on his shoelaces, and he shattered 3 Ching vases.
Oh,
he
my God.
He tripped on his shoelaces, wow. And he shattered 3 17th century Qing Dynasty vases.
What's the value on that?
The museum has declined to say what the value of the vases were. The museum has vowed to glue them back together. Quote, it was a most unfortunate and regrettable accident, but we are glad that the visitor involved was able to leave the museum unharmed.
From other people?
I don't know. See, this is why I think it's a geek.
From a historian.
You know, these 17th century Qing vases actually... Oh!
my question is this. Why aren't these vases better secured? I mean, come on.
Yeah, put double stick tape stuff on it.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sort of talking out of my butt here, but I think my observation has been in a lot of museums is... No matter how valuable a piece is, if it's their least valuable piece, it doesn't have the best possible security. Yeah. So, like, you may have these 3 Qing vases, but if they're next to the Mona Lisa, they're out in the open.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. That's a good point. Asked about the porcelain vases, Margaret Greaves, the museum's assistant director, said, they are in very, very small pieces, but we are determined to put them back together.
God, could you imagine being that guy?
Oh, man.
So what did you do today, honey?
He's a geek. Had to be. All right.
Ricky, you got some explaining to do.
You got some explaining to do.
Lucy. Well, my first news story is actually quite an old news story, but I didn't hear about it until recently. I know there are a lot of people out there like me who have been wondering whatever happened to that Good Omens movie.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, they made an announcement, and then, like, around 2003, it just kind of went away.
Well, they argued. There was a big fight and an argument, but that was the last time I heard about it.
Well, actually, apparently what happened was Terry Gilliam came up short. He set a budget for $60 million and was only able to come up with $45.
Because of Don Juan.
A variety of reasons. I think the man's a brilliant director.
Yes.
But he has a reputation for having movies falling apart on him, and that kind of rubs off on everything he touches now. Well, apparently it's been in hibernation for a long time, but as of September last year, Neil Gaiman has apparently said don't count it out, and Terry Gilliam has said he's back on track with plans to get it made.
Okay.
So,
is he the right director for that?
Terry Gilliam is hands down the only director I could possibly imagine doing it.
Hmm.
Okay.
You know, I mean, maybe... Okay, I just blanked on the other director's name. Mars Attacks.
Tim
Burton. Maybe Tim Burton. But
like
wrong sensibility.
Who? Cuarón, the guy who
Children
did
of the City of...
Y Tu Mama Tambien, and he did the most recent Harry Potter, or he did the Harry Potter
He's
that was
brilliant.
Good.
He could do anything.
Number 3.
I don't know. There's a very specific sensibility to that book.
He's just
all
very dark.
All I'm saying is if you saw Y Tu Mama Tambien...
The
book's not book. Hmm. Really?
I'm just going to be quiet and let Peter talk.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that if you saw Y Tu Mama Tambien, you would never think he would be right for Harry Potter. You would never in a million years go, let's hire this guy for Harry Potter. Somebody did, and it was the best Harry Potter movie made.
Yeah. Number 3.
Yeah. Is that because it was a better script or a better director?
No, better director.
Same. Yeah, it's the same formula as the other ones. It's just a much better done.
It was the first time that the kids ever learned how to act.
Yeah.
I mean, he got amazing performances.
Well, they're growing up, too.
Yeah, well, in the next movie, you know,
well,
the two boys are going to share that hot, passionate kiss with the other woman. And
Don, that was Lord of the Rings.
Oh, sorry.
They all learned how to act at once. Yeah. So it's not a growing up issue.
It wasn't a fluke.
Aaron? Well, I have some news. Looks like we get a little bit of Star Trek back in our lives because Star Trek Legacy has been announced.
Game.
It's a video game. Bethesda Softworks announced today. It has secured the rights from the CBS consumer product because I guess CBS now is like...
Owns Star Trek?
Well, yeah. Paramount split. Like Viacom, Paramount. But anyway, there's this whole issue of like...
And UPN is gone and WB is gone.
No, UPN and WB are merging.
Yeah, they're merging.
They're merging to become CW because it's owned by CBS and Warner Brothers.
Yeah, so anyway, through this whole big shuffle, people are now kind of grabbing different rights for a different one of these franchises. But
craziness.
So CBS Consumer Products to publish a series of Star Trek games.
Okay.
On all the consoles, handhelds, and PCs. Bethesda has two titles slated for release this year to coincide with the 40th anniversary of... I can't believe it's been 40 years of Star Trek. Isn't that crazy?
Have you seen Shatner? It looks like 40 years of Star Trek.
Star Trek Legacy for Xbox 360 and the PC. And Star Trek Tactical Assault for Nintendo DS and and the PSP.
I always wondered why they didn't do that on the show. I always thought a Star Trek Tactical Assault team would have been a really neat way to go.
They did.
For the show.
They did for
Enterprise?
The last Enterprise.
Yeah, but they had that. My friend Dan was one of the guys.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It was like Dan Kim. On
he Boston. Was?
Yeah, he was one of the guys. He was like Mr. Silent Asian guy in the corner with a gun.
Oh, and that's right. He just kind of faded away after
a
little while.
He squinted at the camera a lot. It was a pain in the ass. They mistreated him. But yeah, it was. I thought it was assy and not so good.
It's not really. Well, these are all Starship Combat games.
Cool,
actually. So
the very first video game I ever worked on was a Star Trek franchise game.
Elite Forces?
Star Trek Elite Force 2.
And that is exactly what you're talking about. Elite Forces was about a team of like special ops.
Ooh.
But it was I can't say it made the Star Trek fans happy.
No.
Like in the
was
game I worked
human?
On No, you there was there was
Borg,
a
think
one of the
one.
Blue people with a
Andorians.
What, split down the middle of the face?
Oh, like the guy who always played the barber?
Yeah, he was one of the barber people, and Klingon was in the group.
Okay. But this the cool thing is that the PSP is going to get a ship-to-ship combat game, and I think that would be like perfect for this. It's going to be kind of like Starfleet Battles on your PSP.
Didn't they do a Starfleet Battles video game already?
Starfleet Command.
Yeah.
Yep, and it was exactly Starfleet Battles on.
Yeah.
The problem with that was... Actually, it was a great game. The problem was that
it was good.
Hard.
I just had a really hard time beating anything. I think I got to level 3 before I just pooped out.
It's hard. It was hard. Yeah. It was just, you know, it's an entire board game jammed onto a video game, and there was a lot of click here, you know, menu this, menu that, menu this in real time. So, you know, unlike the board game where you got to sit there and just think for 20 minutes how to, like, figure out your power, you know, this and that, you had to do it in, like, 30 seconds.
Hmm.
So it was a little frustrating. But anyway, I'm looking forward to this. Finally, some Star Trek.
Peter?
Brain scans may now be used as lie detectors.
That's not new, is it?
That is new.
Really?
That is new. Recently, a lab has reported that it can catch lies with 90% accuracy.
Whoa.
Which will change the world as we know it, in the sense that now when you go to court, there's a way to tell if someone is telling the truth. So in the past, lie detectors aren't accurate.
They're like what, 70% accurate?
Well, but they're also
higher
very
than that.
Beatable. If you know certain things, you can beat them. So
I always wanted
like people who go through CIA training can beat a lie detector.
Hmm. You do something I can't remember what it's called, false positive, where you was it false something? Anyway, what you do is you relate an answer to a thought in your brain so that you are essentially telling the truth by saying something different so that you don't get the same
emotional response
that you would, and you essentially just tell your brain that this answer is the truth over and over and over again. You train yourself to do that. That's one way of doing it, I heard.
And I think I heard something about you can actually do things physically with your body to make it do that. Like you can tense up your body on purpose and then relax right before you say something. I mean, I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I believe I've heard this before.
Huh.
So
are they going to, is this now also going to be used in courtrooms? I mean, they said it's now.
That's what they're gearing up to do. They're trying to get up to that level, but they're not there yet.
I'm wondering if that's constitutional.
Well,
you know, I'm not saying
I'm
just wondering.
In the courtrooms where it's constantly analyzing, I'm just saying using it as evidence.
It's going to be like the big eye in the beginning of the Ridley Scott.
Well, like rather than swearing on the Bible, they just hook you up to a lie detector, you know?
Yeah. I think that since it's a brain scan, it would have to be a awfully big device to have in a courtroom. You know, it's an MRI machine, right? So,
but not only that, but you have to have like a
Another 15 years, it'll be the size of a hairdryer.
Right. You have to have like a what do you call it from a judge where they you get permission to court order to check somebody's brain. I mean, I don't think you can force somebody into a lie detection.
No, no. I think it's.
I mean, you have the Fifth Amendment, which is you can't. You don't have to.
The right against self-incrimination.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So I.
But it's another device to actually determine whether or not. You know, and 90% is a pretty good rate, and that only improve.
Yeah. All right. Scary good.
So on the same note, Asians carry the gene for dry earwax.
Yes, I've heard this. Actually,
for what?
Dry earwax.
You can tell.
What is dry earwax?
You can tell the race of somebody by the type of earwax they have.
Yep. Which is great.
No, you cannot.
Yes.
Here you
go. How many types of earwax are there?
The January issue of Nature Genetics reports on the identification of a gene that determines whether your earwax is dry or wet. People of African and European ancestry have predominantly wet earwax. Yet another proof that black and white people are not so far apart. Asians, Inuit, and Native North Americans have predominantly dry earwax, as they have a gene that prevents cerumen from mixing with their earwax.
Most disturbing thing he said there, Matt, with the Asian.
Yeah.
The most disturbing part of that is I have the overwhelming urge to check out Matt's earwax now.
Yeah, wow.
Because I don't know what my earwax would be because I've never looked at anyone else's.
All right, everyone throw your earwax right here on the floor. Let's check it out.
Let's make a candle.
Yep, they've identified a gene that alters the shape of the channel that controls the flow of molecules that directly affect earwax type. They found that many East Asians have a mutation in this gene. We're mutated earwax people, yes. That prevent cerumen, the molecule that makes earwax wet, from entering the mix. Scientists believe that the mutation reached high frequencies in Northeast Eurasia, and following a population increase, expanded over the rest of the continent. Today's distribution of the gene is highest in North China and Korea. There's some dry earwax in North China and Korea.
Yes. And a lot of it.
A lot of it is dry.
You have seen that it has happened here. Geeks On has gotten to the point where we are now reporting on earwax.
Hell yes.
I don't know why this, like, you know, is surprising to anybody. I mean, you know.
I'm shocked.
Why? I mean, there's enough genetic difference Asian people look different.
It's earwax. I've never thought about it all that much.
It never occurred
to me that someone else's earwax might have a different consistency than mine.
I'm half.
Let's talk about the rest of our bodily fluids.
Does mine.
Who else here gets ear boogers? Anyone else?
Yeah, that's what earwax is.
Just me? No, your boogers, like little chunky things in the earwax.
Wow,
that's what earwax is.
Yeah.
I don't get that either.
Okay, but so I also Peter gets to, your boogers yes, you like me.
No, I don't. I really don't. I don't have to clear out my.
If you were to take a tissue and put it into your ear, you would
I don't get a build. Like, I know people who clean their ears because they get like a little bit of build up. Why are we talking? Forget it. Let's just move on.
I was really wondering how far I could get that to go.
All right. Whose turn is it? My turn?
No, me. Turn. Me. All right. I have bad news. I have very bad news.
Is this the same news that I have?
Yes. The era is over. The golden age of video games is done.
I'm not even gonna. This is the end for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but
the whole reason for going
is gone.
It's gone.
E3 has officially banned the booth babe.
What?
This is such bullshit.
You know, did you notice? Did you notice who it was that banned the booth babe?
Who did it?
It was the E3 Expo trade show. Themselves?
No. Did you notice the person who? Who specifically said that it's being banned?
Who banned?
Was it a man or a woman?
It was a woman.
Just pointing that out.
It was a woman. All right, the video game industry's 2006 E3 Expo trade show in Los Angeles is getting a makeover. Banned are the swarms of sexy, semi-clad booth babes that in years past took the unveiling of new games and technology to titillating new levels. Rules prohibiting the use of scantily clad young women to peddle video games are nothing new, but the handbook for this year's game show in May outlines tough new penalties, including a $5,000 fine on the spot for the booth owner of the booth if the booth babe is semi-clad.
So, in other words, Ubisoft, EA, and Activision will have booth babes because they can afford it.
Yes. Here's where it gets interesting is it's not a $5,000 fine for the day. It's a $5,000 fine at that moment. Then they have to be told to change.
Yep. And if they don't change, you get fined again.
You get fined again. So it could rack up pretty quickly.
Well, what's the reset point? Because you can't just say it five times real quickly and earn $2,500.
But they're not allowed back on the floor until they... until they change their clothes.
Yeah, booth babes would be escorted off the premises.
Did you guys see the Blood Rain model last year or 2 years ago?
How could you not?
Now, does that count? Because she's a character. Now you can't even dress up as the character?
You cannot. That it breaks the rules of the...
Total bullshit.
I predict what you're going to see is more fully dressed women that are going to be coming after you. And, of course, skin tone mesh.
Yeah.
That'll count as clothing. And, of course, more people dressed as robots. You know,
but half the time or more than half the time they're dressed as the character.
Yes.
Do they not know
who their target audience is?
I mean, listen.
Here's one thing. I got to throw out in the defense of E3 for one, just because someone has to. All right. I was looking at who the buyers were last year. I was paying close attention to that. The buyers were not men. The buyers being sent by most of the businesses, the ones that I came across, and I can't say it was all of them, a lot of them were women.
But don't you think that should be up to the people trying to sell it?
Yes. Oh, I completely agree.
If they were smart enough, then they would say, wait a minute, this is hurting us. Let's not put them in there. But that's not the case.
Well, I think it's silly because, it's E3. It's an invitational, 18 and above adult event.
Right.
There's no children there to protect. The children that get in there are not supposed to be there.
Right.
You know, so I don't see any, and I've seen the costumes. I've never seen anything so offensive that it blows the top.
Okay, I'm going to defend E3 a little bit on this also. It is also a work event. It's a trade show industry event where designers and programmers are there.
There have been car trade shows forever that have had booth babes.
But, well, that's true. I'm only defending them a little bit is that, you know, now there are more women in the industry and there are programmers and designers and sometimes they don't want to go in the workplace with strippers.
I'm contradicting myself, though.
Dragging these women.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's if your buyers are women, change it, but don't mandate it.
No.
But don't mandate it.
Guys, it's booth buds.
Yeah.
Booth, okay.
Yeah. Activision did that. That was something I noticed. Last year, Activision had two, like, 8'12" guys in military gear.
That would be 9 feet, Don.
Shut up. And these guys just kind of sidled up to all the women there and growled at them, right?
Right.
And I noticed, like, a lot of the women just kept circling back to the Activision booth.
Yeah, just get a whole bunch of firemen.
Yeah.
And, you know, hunky firemen put them there.
Hunky fireman.
it's ridiculous. This is obviously a direct response to
hot coffee.
To hot coffee. They're absolutely out of their minds, crazy about bad press. And the only people, and again, this is the press, the media who's spreading this total bullshit. And Jack Thompson can go and eat my ass. Okay, next.
Yeah, oh, my.
Really?
I think that's you next, Darren.
Oh, okay. Image.
Hey, man, we went from earwax to that, so.
All right.
Eat my ass with your earwax.
It is my turn. I was just, one of mine was the booth babes, but I've ranted enough.
Stole it.
So my last one here is a Call of Cthulhu Arkham Horror expansion has been announced.
I've been following this news story.
So it is apparently a card deck expansion that adds to the...
This is the second one you're talking about. There are two expansions scheduled.
Oh, really?
One is coming out very soon. The one you're talking about is the Egyptian expansion?
Yes, Dark Pharaoh expansion. Curse of the Dark Pharaoh. That's the second one.
It's the second one scheduled.
Okay. That's a 166-card expansion board game.
Which it needs. I mean, it's a great game and all, but it needs more cards, you know?
Yeah. The
event cards.
The event cards.
Yeah, I mean, after you've played the game like twice, you've seen all the events.
Well, there's only like 8 events per place. It's kind of
absurd. Is this a board game or what is this?
This is the Arkham Horror board game that you played with us.
Oh, Arkham. Okay, got it.
Arkham Horror.
Yeah.
And there's about 6 expansions announced for Runebound, that talisman type game that we haven't played yet.
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, really?
You know, if I can find it, there's a website out. I'll try and forward this over to you. There's a website out that gives you the rules on how to create your own characters for Arkham.
Oh, yes. I've seen that.
Yeah, someone sent me...
If you go to Board Game Geek, it's on there, too.
Yeah, I think it's on there. Somebody sent me a character from Big Trouble in Little China that they turned into an Arkham Horror game.
I saw that. It was cool. Actually a great character.
Yeah, it was a great little character. I think I'm going to make Ash and Buffy to go into the Arkham Horror.
All right. Peter? So scientific brain has been linked to autism. It is thought...
If you have a scientific brain, you are autistic?
No. Actually, I guess what they're saying is that if you are more analytical, you're also probably more analytical, more likely to have autistic children. Okay. So...
Which side of the brain is the analytical one? The right?
I have no idea.
Left.
I thought left was creativity.
Right's creativity.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We can't let you finish an entire sentence, Peter.
No, what are you thinking? I was just struck with thought. So anyway, it's thought that about one child in every 100 has a form of autism. The vast majority of those affected are boys, mm-hmm. of course, because mm-hmm. boys
are smarter.
Boys are crazy.
No. Boys aren't crazy. No, actually, Matt and I were talking recently where we... What was the thing that a girl told you that girls are more likely to be emotional and then analytical?
Oh, yeah.
Boys are more likely to be analytical and then emotional.
It's just the order of it.
They both they just do them in different orders.
Yeah. Men are analytical first, emotional second. Women are emotional first, analytical second, which is why men have to think about their feelings and not women feel about what they're thinking. It's not a general rule, but, you know, it cares.
I'm unfamiliar with this theory. I don't think we ever brought it up in psych class.
I'm just waiting for the hate mail to come in. So
here we go.
All right. But
well, we haven't alienated women yet, have we? We should probably.
No, well,
we've pretty much damn well done both the Koreas. It's about time we move on to women.
Is that after Korea?
They've been noticing a higher diagnosis of autism, but they don't think that that's because there's more of it now. They just think it's being noticed. So
interesting.
So if you tend to be highly analytical and have trouble socially, you might have a mild form of autism. Did you say you were Aaron?
No. I'm like,
huh? I don't know. I think we're too quick to slap names of syndromes and things on just standard behavior, you know?
Yeah, GRS. How about this?
Well,
you're just a weirdo.
I'm occasionally depressed. It doesn't mean I'm depressed, you know? It just means I'm occasionally blue.
But I have noticed that we all have GRS, geek retardation syndrome.
Yes.
Shut up.
All right, Matt.
All right, ready? Giant Canadian super beavers invade Argentina. Yes. In 1946, ambitious breeders brought 25 pairs of Canadian beavers to the Argentinian province of Tierra del Fuego in hopes of spawning a fur industry in the area. It got way too successful. There are no predators to take down the beavers. And the beavers have, which are normally herbivores in Canada, have also taken to eating fish and fowl and mollusks, and they're giving rise to a new generation of supersized beavers averaging over a yard in length.
Yard?
Yeah.
No, 3 feet. That's about three feet.
Yeah. It's a big beaver.
God damn.
It's a big, and they're about 70 pounds.
Inappropriate comment in 5, 4, 3, 2.
No! Giant super, but they're unbalancing the ecosystem and like that, and there are gigantic super beavers.
You know how much a giant super beaver goes for here in Hollywood?
Yeah, well, you know, they're hunting.
Have you met Jenna Elfman?
They're definitely hunting super beaver in Argentina now, so.
I've seen the Miss Argentina contest. I believe it.
Crazy.
There you go.
Done. Okay, I think that pretty much alienates all our female viewers. Thank you.
I got one more.
Okay.
There's a new report by the UK government, which a lot of people are saying we really need to be careful about global warming. We need to stop it before it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
This report says it actually may be too late. They actually think that we are past that point.
Too late, meaning that something bad is going to happen?
What it says is that there's only a small chance of greenhouse gas emissions being kept below dangerous levels. It fears that the Greenland ice sheet is likely to melt, leading sea levels to rise by 7 meters or 23 feet.
Oh, God.
1,000 years. Leading, you know, to mass extinctions. Polar bears are gone. You know, problems in a lot of countries.
Cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria.
Aaron, you got anything?
So we got 1,000 years.
We got 1,000 years.
We got only 1,000 years.
That's really depressing.
How high are we here?
It's 1,000 years till it goes up 23 feet.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, if it went up 23 feet, Los Angeles would be underwater.
Is under. Yeah.
Well,
no, it's
I'm
not.
Probably about 20 feet.
Yeah, totally.
No,
you'll be the new. You'll be new beachfront
no
property.
Way. I mean, if you go down to Santa Monica,
there's a cliff.
There's a cliff.
15 feet.
No, it's more than 15 feet. There's a cliff that's like 100 feet down.
That's true. Yeah, so I'm probably about 400 feet high just here.
I don't know.
I'm about 12
well,
or 15 miles.
Well, you're at the base of the hill, so, you know.
Yeah, I'm about 12.
You just migrate 20 feet that way. You'll be fine.
Exactly.
Well,
but I live on the second floor, so I don't care.
This is Otis Hall. This is Otis Hall. One last thing, just really quick. I just found out about this, and I think it's not really news, but I found out about it. It's really, really cool. Mozart was, in fact, a huge geek. Beyond the fact that geeks listen to his music. And he made a piece, and I'm going to massacre the name of it, but it's Musikalisches Wumfrespiel, which means musical dice game. And what it is it's a minuet. It's a Wiener minuet. And each of the 16 bars of the Wiener minuet, Mozart offered 2 choices for the 8th and 16th bars and 11 choices for each of the other bars. And what you do is every time you get to the end of that bar, somebody rolls a set of dice, and you choose the random choice, and it goes into a different minuet.
That's
so
crazy.
He has all these different selections, and nobody has ever been able to play this full minuet because there are millions of combinations that can actually.
So it's
come
like
up.
It's like
it's a full on role
it's
playing.
Like
it's a role playing minuet.
Amplitude. It's like the original Amplitude.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Weird.
Yeah.
I just want to mention 2 more things. One is that Disney has bought out Pixar.
Yes.
Pixar has become part of Disney.
What?
Which means the last. That's the last
no!
of the good.
No.
It's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's not.
Okay, Steve Jobs is now going to take a more. He's going to be working over at Disney some more.
Okay.
And then the big thing is that John Lasseter is who is really the real cause for Pixar's success.
The heart of Pixar
is taking a huge role over at Disney now. He's going to be.
I think he's head of creative services now, or creative.
Development. And
Disney screws everything up.
He's also the head of the creative development of the theme parks. And Disney does not screw everything up because it's had really good runs at different points.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the.
But everybody, every time they have a good run, they fire that person.
Well, yes. But they've also taken the guy that was the big problem there and
got
kind
rid of him. Yeah. Okay.
You know,
prepare for Pocahontas too.
They've already done that
in 3D.
I want to mention is
they're coming right at me.
The engines are coming right at me,
and a super beaver.
Okay, slight tangent. I'm sorry, I have to interject now.
Yeah.
Have any of you watched Pocahontas recently?
No. I've never watched.
Okay, if you ever watch Pocahontas, note every single time Pocahontas is in shot, her boobs are the center of everything. It's just boom, boobs. In the camera. And every time the guy is
John
in the
Smith,
camera shot, his enormous crotch is thrusting out into the shot.
Wow.
So just
keep that in mind
next time you watch it.
I think that Pocahontas is going to get rented more often.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
So the other thing I wanted to mention is my printer. My printer, I think it's an Epson RX500. I recently found something interesting out about my printer. It's one of those multifunction printers. It looks really cool. It does, you know, the copy. It's got the little copy scanner plate on top.
His laundry.
Okay. So I've been printing in just black and white to try and save ink for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, my printer stopped printing and said, you need to replace all your ink cartridges. And I have not been printing in color. And I'm like, what the hell? So I replaced 3 of them, you know. 2 days later, I had
now,
to replace.
Now, each cartridge is separate, or do you have the
each
color
cartridge? Each color cartridge is separate. It's got 5 of them.
And each one is separate?
Each one is separate.
Oh, weird.
And they're each like $15 or $20 each.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wound up spending $100 to replace my ink, and I'm going, what the hell is going on? And on top of that, it will not print in black and white if you don't replace the color.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I went on to find out why this was the case. They have designed this so that it prints. Every time it prints in black and white, it uses the tiniest amount of color.
Mm.
And they describe it as saying, you know, that they have to keep the printer heads clean.
Yeah. Oh, please.
Okay. There are a lot of printers that don't have this problem.
Right.
You know, I know that for a fact. This is bullshit. Okay.
Peter's on a rant. Everybody take the K.
No. I mean, look, it works great when you're printing in color. It's a great printer, other than the fact that it, you know, sucks the money out of your wallet. Okay?
All printers do that.
I'll send you to a website.
Actually,
every printer that uses ink.
In fact, I should get this information, but I went on to Consumer Reports. And there are some really great printers out there that print really well and very cheaply.
So you're saying screw Epson.
I'm saying do not use them. Do not get that printer. Check it out. Go to Consumer Reports.
You need to go to PrintPal.
Spend the $20 to find out, and there are some great printers out there that work way better.
You need to go to PrintPal.com is what you need to go to. Get cheap ink.
All right. You got to watch those cheap inks, though. The fact that if you don't use the sprayer heads, that is true, that the ink will dry in there, and you will stop a printer down completely. Now,
I use the generic aspirin version of it.
Can we go back to talking about earwax?
Yeah, let's go back to earwax.
Let's stop this thing, and when we come back, we are going to start our topic.
Are we going somewhere?
Yes.
What's that? You're gonna hunker down on this segment. You're gonna lead it on.
I'll lead this segment on.
Our fearless leader.
Our topic this week. Because of all the video game award shows that are on television right now.
It's about video game earwax.
Video game earwax.
Yes.
No. But it is about our picks for 2005, the video games that we played this last year.
Can I interject one quick thing here?
Yes.
This was my first year where I was able to vote in the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences Video Game Awards.
Oh, really?
As an official member.
Ooh, excellent. So did some of these reflect some of these votes?
Absolutely not. Because they had already narrowed down my choices, and I was like, no, I don't like that. I like that one. I'll vote for the one I like on this list.
Okay, now the difference between our list and the ones you will find on television and in magazines and on the internet
is they played everything.
And we played
what we could afford.
Right. They've played everything. We just play what we want to play. We don't have every system. And some of the games we played this last year were not games that were released last year, and we are adding those into the category. These are games we played last year, not necessarily games that were released last year.
Absolutely.
So we broke some – before we get to our top five, we broke them down into smaller categories to lead up to that, and maybe we can talk about each one of them also.
Sure.
So the first category that we picked is the favorite portable game, cell phone, phones, PSP, DS, or anything else you can think of.
Okay.
Did you guys play any portable games?
I actually played something on my cell phone that was kind of interesting.
Okay.
It's a game that a lot of people will be familiar with from non-cell phone use, but it's called Snood.
It's
basically Bubble Bobble or something like that.
Puzzle Bobble?
Like Puzzle Bobble.
Puzzle, like Bust Bibble a Move? Bobble.
Like Bust a Move. Mm. But it's actually kind of it's interesting for two reasons. One is that it's got much worse graphics, but it's actually more fun to play.
Why is it more fun?
Because you can play it on the toilet.
Yeah. Toes are blue for the 5 hours on the toilet.
It's more fun because it feels a little it feels a little more complex in some ways, but the other thing is that the things don't move down towards you.
So it's
much more strategy and thought and less about speed.
So you screw yourself up more than it slowly coming down on top of you.
Yeah, you screw yourself up, and it's designed that way. It's
interesting.
Designed, yeah.
Interesting. Anybody else have a portable game?
On my trio, I had a bunch of chess games, and there's this really good Chinese chess game, which I really liked. That was not my favorite because it had the bad habit of crapping out on me, but it deserved a mention. The one that I really liked and loved to hate was for the N-Gage.
Okay.
And it was Riffs. And it's specifically because it was Riffs. And I always wanted a Riffs game, and they finally came out with it. Even though it was a big pile of suck, I still had to like it because it had Riffs characters.
That's just wrong.
I was going to abstain from a favorite portable game because I don't play portable games.
Right.
I don't. But I had to put one on there, Nintendogs.
Okay.
For the very specific reason that where I work, there are a lot of video game players in a video game company, as one might guess.
Yeah.
Every time there's a break, suddenly the Nintendog players come out, wandering the bays with their little handheld system, using it like a metal detector.
Oh man, that is
hunting deep. For other dogs.
Now it's because they get to trade like objects and stuff.
I'm not entirely sure what the hell they do. They just find each other, they babble briefly, and then go into a dark corner and stand there silently,
yeah, the
staring
dogs
at their
play
screens.
With each other. And I think that when they do that, they can, like, if you unlocked like a certain bone or a certain toy. Then the other one can, like, take it and, like, leave with it. Or I don't know. What.
Probably. I don't know.
So they're walking their dogs.
Yeah.
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 Every break, you can see one or two people wandering those bays looking for people.
I want a Nintendo cat.
Like, crack horse.
I want a Nintendo cat that I can, like, walk through and just release it in the middle of all the Nintendo dogs.
That would rock.
Right. Okay. I'm going to mention my favorite PSP game. I bought the PSP this year.
Yeah.
I bought it this year.
Last year.
Oh, beginning of last year, right. Yeah. Or end of last year. And out of all the games, out of SOCOM and Burnout Legends and all of the crazy 3D graphic super this and that, the game that I played more than any was Pinball Hall of Fame.
Really?
This is the best pinball game, or digital pinball game, I have ever played.
Cool.
It's got 12 different pinball
sets, tracks,
yeah,
whatever.
What are those things called?
I don't
tracks?
Know. Games.
Games. And they're all real ones, so they have historical background, and they have, it's kind of
historical background.
What, yeah, like, you can read up on your
the Ben Franklin pinball game.
They've got them all, and they even have like Zoltar. You can put in
and
it tells your fortune and stuff. Anyway. Great physics. You can play the thing. And not only that, but you can set it so that you can turn your PSP sideways so you get the long view and get to see your whole pinball game instead of other way. Anyway, great game.
Cool.
Any other portable games anyone wants to mention?
Navi.
Okay. The next category was best graphics. Game that most impressed you with its visuals.
Okay.
I didn't play Shadows of the Colossus.
Okay.
I played it for just a brief moment on your computer.
Right.
And I could see from that one might just pop up again.
Okay.
What I did play, though, is I did play Ico.
Mm-hmm.
And Ico is the one we've already talked about.
That's right. You just played it recently.
Cool.
So this is your first time.
And it's my first time. It's an older game. But that has great graphics. And it manages to create graphics where you are terrified that your character is going to fall off, and you worry about your character falling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one I'm going to mention.
Okay.
Let's see if my predictions follow through.
Yeah, Shadow of the Colossus is very pretty, and as is Ico, and there are a lot of them. But and also I thought of Splinter Cell Chaos Theory, which is very, very pretty.
Oh.
Very, very pretty game. But at the end of the day, I'm going to have to say World of Warcraft.
Really?
Because World of Warcraft is vast. And the graphic, it's the one game where I keep on going to places and stopping and looking around and maybe taking a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how good the graphics are in other games, I don't stop and take a picture. Because I'm just like, oh my God, look at that sunset. Look at that, you know, I'll sit and look up at the stars every once in a while or watch a bird fly around.
They've literally got places built in there that are like just, I noticed this one day, I was running around and I found this path in Stranglethorn Vale. Revealing my geekness that I can, like,
he's a geek,
throw down some of these locations, and I'm wandering up this trail just to see what it is, and I wind up on this overlook where I'm looking down over, like, you know, two bridges and a couple waterfalls, and it's like, clearly the only reason that this place that they've put here is here is so that you can watch it, you can walk up here and get this great view down on it, you know.
For a massively multiplayer game, I totally agree, it's by far the best looking massively multiplayer game. I mean, and it is not, doesn't have, it doesn't strive to be realistic, photoreal, which is what everyone always gets caught up on. That's the reason why there was this whole, you know, contest between EverQuest 2 and World of Warcraft. I'm sorry, EverQuest 2 does not look is not photorealistic. Yes, it's better than the first one.
But it looks
and crap. It's not well designed. And World of Warcraft has got great design. People thought there's artistry behind the design.
Yep.
It's not just particle effects and photoreal this and photoreal that. Just good design.
I feel also,
like I would say like Final Fantasy XI. has to be put up there as a very beautiful game. But it doesn't have the complexity to its landscapes that World of Warcraft does at all. Mm-hmm. You know, it gets blown out of the water on that level.
Mm-hmm. I also want to mention that as you're wandering World of Warcraft, you constantly kind of run into these new creatures that are, I mean, just you think that you've played it, you know, you get up to level, you know, whatever, you know, 40 or something, and you're going, you know, I'm two-thirds of the way up to this certain point. I mean, I've got to have seen just everything. About everything. And, you know, I've seen 30-foot-tall creatures in this game. Well, the other day I'm playing the game, and an 80-foot-tall creature comes running from the burning steps into, you know, chasing people from literally one continent to, or one land into another land. And people are screaming. They're like these, there's like this horde of like 15, 20, like level 20 characters running as this, literally like this 80-foot monster is chasing down some guy. And like this thing just stomped everybody and turned and went back.
Yeah. Crazy. Gotta love that.
Yeah.
All right, Don, what's on your list?
All right, I'm going to throw out a couple. Shadows of the Colossus. Can't be ignored. Just hands down, it's the most WoW game I've seen in the past year.
Pretty.
Just impressive. The newest Spider-Man game can't be ignored because the most impressive cell shading I've seen.
Great cell shading.
Just beautiful looking game. Smooth movement. The last one I have to put on there is an ancient game that I am still playing, and every one of our listeners will make fun of me for. Yes, I still play Space Channel 5 Volume 2. And the dancing and the choreography in that game cannot be ignored. It is smooth. It is fun to watch. And it's the first game I'd ever seen where they looked at the characters that they were able to generate at that time and went, we look blocky. How do we incorporate our blockiness into our look
and our design
and made it work, made their limitations their style?
There you go.
And it looked fantastic. And I still love seeing the game.
All right, graphic designer.
Okay. Well, I had a couple here. Far Cry.
Oh, yeah.
Even on the Xbox. When I started playing Far Cry on the Xbox, I just couldn't believe it. I just was like,
that's true.
You know, the water effects.
Didn't
and
even
everything.
Think of that.
Just amazing. And then Chaos Theory is just unbelievable. In fact, I would put Chaos Theory above any Xbox 360 game as far as advanced graphics. To me, it blows out everything. I mean, it's unfreaking believable what these guys can do. These guys are just geniuses. Mm. And I've seen now trailers for the new Splinter Cell for the next gen stuff.
Yeah, isn't there one that's like he's a rogue agent or something? It's Splinter Cell rogue agent.
The whole concept is that his daughter has died in a car wreck and he gets depressed, so he just drops out of society, quits his job, and just is now this complete recluse. And something happens, and he says, well, I want in. So they give him some, like, little job, and he has to go on the inside of a prison. So you start out in a prison trying to get into this crime lord. Yeah,
cool.
Anyway, it's very cool, and I can't wait. But Shadows of the Colossus is
beautiful,
freaking believable. I really wish that game had an in-game still camera, like, snapshot button, because I was constantly wanting to just take a photo.
I wish my TV was as big as yours is when I was playing that game.
It was just... Now, the problem is...
I wish I had a sound system when I'm
playing
stuff.
It was very crunchy, bad anti-aliasing. I mean, it really...
It's got... stupid camera work. That was my only problem, is the camera is dumb, and you can never look where you want to look.
The camera is there to make things look good. It is not there to play the game.
No.
It really, unfortunately, the camera distracts from the gameplay, even though it's made for the visuals.
I was like, I really care about the drop-off, but please get me out of the bottom right of frame.
Right. It tries to put you in a third of the screen or puts you off to the side, and so your whole camera swivels around that point, which is pretty absurd think about
it. Yeah.
So, anyway.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Okay, the best story. Was there a game out there that the story actually kept
your interest?
Honestly,
it seemed like slim pickings. I could only think of one new release real story game.
Yeah.
Which was the Orson Scott Card game. which I hadn't played.
Oh, but Prophecy, but
Advent Rising.
Advent Rising, yeah.
Which I've heard the story is amazing for, but having
once
not played it.
Once you get past the first third.
Having not played it, not on my list.
Okay.
I had to throw back. I'm sorry. Do you want to go?
Go.
Okay. I had to throw back to a game that I bought the year before but didn't play until this year, which was Vampire Bloodlines.
Hmm.
That had an entertaining story, not as deep as I wished, but a few surprises in there and fun. Cool. So, Vampire Bloodlines.
I'm going to put down Brothers in Arms. That and its sequel came out this year, and it follows a group of guys in World War II, like 13 days,
mm-hmm.
and you literally almost follow every moment of their life and every step. You don't like fly to Germany and then go to, you know, blah, 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 blah. Right. Literally, it's just you're going down a road. And you really, really get into what it was like just to kind of move through this landscape and how dangerous that was and what it was like to be with these guys. And not only that, the connection between the historical footage and stuff they had with that enhanced the story. It was pretty unbelievable. So I'm going to put Brothers in Arms as my best story.
Petey?
Okay.
I picked Oddworld Stranger's Wrath.
Oh. Yeah. I knew you would pick that one.
That's a great game.
I've heard it was great, but I never finished it, so I didn't put it on.
It's a great game.
I got to tell you, this story here is not, it's not that complicated, but it's just wonderful.
Yeah, it's sweet. And it's neat. It's a twist, you know?
It's such a neat story. It's just a neat story. It's really well designed. You know, I was looking at an article today, just a brief mention where it said it's so sad that we've lost one of, you know, the most talented members of our industry. And I went, oh man, did the guy that designed this die? And I looked him up, and he's actually just quit because he says it's such an effed up situation in the industry right now.
Yeah,
you know, one of the things
he's kind of recanted on the quitting thing entirely.
Well,
he said he's upset with the industry and where it's led, and he feels like it's. You know, he has to pitch every time he does a game.
Yeah, they should do a massively multiplayer Oddworld.
That, I could totally see that.
That would be brilliant.
See, here's a couple things that he mentioned. One was that they had a hard time porting the game to Sony.
Mm-hmm.
So EA just didn't advertise it at all, even though they were consistently getting some of the highest ratings out there for this game.
Right.
And he also mentioned another thing. He said that it's getting really expensive to make games now. He said that the work it used to take for one designer to do on the old systems, it now takes like 9 designers to do it.
Right.
So then that's one of the reasons it's getting exponentially more expensive.
Yeah.
Thought that was interesting.
So, best story. I thought I liked Shadows of the Colossus. It kept my attention,
mm-hmm.
but redundant.
Yeah. It is redundant.
I liked God of War,
mm-hmm.
and God of War really sort of kept my attention. It was great, and I followed his story, loved it. But again, sort of, you know, this next generation of a platformer,
mm-hmm.
effectively. And then I kind of went, wait a second, what's one game that really I was sort of in the story gritty all year? It was the Riddick game.
Riddick. You played that this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I played that in 2005.
Too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Was,
and that really, really, really kept my attention.
I gotta try that eventually.
It's good.
It's great.
It's like a role-playing game. The problem is it's a first-person shooter as well.
Never mind.
But it's a role-playing version. So it's kind of like Deus Ex.
Yeah.
In a way.
Which you loaned me. I still have it.
Oh, okay. So it's the same kind of...
You wouldn't mind. I
just can't. I can't first-person shooter anymore.
Right.
I just... Done with them.
He's done. Okay.
All right. Next.
Most disappointing game.
I'm going to leave this one off. And I'm actually disappointed to say that this is my most disappointing game, Advent Rising.
Mm. Oh.
Okay. And the reason that it was most disappointing is because it looked really neat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually really fun to play when I was playing it. But I couldn't play it because it crashed 9 times on my system.
Oof.
And I couldn't get out of the first 10 to 15 minutes of the program.
Yeah, it's just annoying.
Man, that is just
that's
a shame.
Bad. That's really bad.
Now, I think I may have had a more extreme version, because a lot of people even said it's worth playing, even with all the crashes, that by the time you get to the end of the game, some of the things that are happening are unreal and amazing. It's supposed to be an amazing game.
But that's just unbearable.
I couldn't handle it.
I couldn't either.
Hmm. So.
Ooh. That is disappointing. All right, Matt?
All right. Basically,
I have a sort of two-way tie, and the two-way tie is between a genre and a game.
Okay.
The genre is every single fighting game sucked.
Yeah.
This last year, and I am a fighting games are the reason why I play video games.
I have the new Dead or Alive if you guys want to try it out.
Why didn't you tell us?
Okay, we have to cut right now. I'm sorry.
Dead or Alive.
I don't care. It's pretty.
Don loves Dead or Alive.
No, well, I actually don't love Dead or Alive. I just love the look of it.
Yeah, it's pretty. But it still sucks. Big, mm-hmm. big capital S. Every single game that came out sucked for a fighting game. The possible exception, and even then it was redundant and stupid, was Def Jam. But still,
Def Jam was kind of fun.
Def Jam was fun to throw people on the subway track.
But I didn't like the fighting engine.
Exactly.
I didn't. Still, it was everything but the fighting part was
still
fun.
Still dumb, dumb, dumb. But the tie is with Halo 2. Halo 2 and their nonsensical dumbass plot line, and the fact
Halo
that it
2
was,
actually came out. You played it actually a year before.
I played it. No, I played 2005.
It came out 2000.
Who cares? It sucked.
But you played it.
Okay, it was so disappointing. It was 2 years worth of disappointment.
Yeah, because we talked about it last year. You guys
you thought
played
it was
it.
The, okay. Okay.
You guys played it last year.
Yeah,
I did not. I still have not played Halo 2.
Okay,
and you probably shouldn't ever, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh come on.
No, you can play.
I hear the multiplayer is fun.
The multiplayer is fun. It's very fun.
It's very fun, and I had fun playing single player. I did have fun, and compared to other first person shooters, it's way up there. Now compared to the original. Okay, I was also disappointed.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say, is that compared to how much it was built
up. But that's
up,
like saying Alien 3 was a absolute piece of garbage.
It was.
Alien 4 was a piece of garbage.
But they used the plot line from Alien 4 in Halo 2.
All right, so Halo 2.
So,
you're right.
Now, let me also mention that the beginning of Halo 2 had a really interesting, wonderful set piece when you're on Earth. That mm-hmm. was so much fun.
That's
just
where
the rest
to
of
go.
It sucked.
I would say it was fun two-thirds of the way, and then when you kind of figured out where things just started getting repetitive and slowing down, then I was like, eh. And then when it ended, you're like, WTF.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Don.
My biggest disappointment this year was one that I'd been looking forward to ever since I heard it was announced, Soul Calibur 3.
Yeah.
Just the Soul Calibur 2 is what Soul Calibur 3 should have been, and Soul Calibur 3 is what Soul Calibur 2 should have been. Mm-hmm. They took a wonderful, intuitive, smooth game and took it a huge step towards Tekken, mm-hmm. which... You know, let's face it, those of us who like fighting games tend to like either Soul Calibur, Tekken, or Virtua Fighter. Mm-hmm. And the three of them need to remain separate. As they take these huge steps together, we get this
Fighter.
One... And so, well, yeah, I'm saying of the 3D fighters. Mm-hmm. As they move closer and closer together, you get this one homogenized, gloppy game that doesn't really make anyone happy.
Yeah.
And that's what they did with Soul Calibur 3.
Hmm.
Crap.
It even looks cartoony.
Crap.
Yeah, you're right. It was a weird departure in that respect. Okay. My most disappointing game, I've got two. Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really, really looked forward to Star Wars Battlefront 1, and it had some severe problems.
Yes.
And
but it was fun.
And it was fun, and we played it a lot.
Yeah.
But when I heard they were going to make a sequel, I went,
ooh, they can fix all the problems.
They can fix... The online problems were just unbelievable. The
latency.
And not only that, but it was lonely. Like, you didn't have a chat room when you entered in.
Yeah.
And there was all sorts of problems. And then the size of the maps, the vehicles were absurd to fly around when you could barely keep things in the air. I mean, it was so hard to fly. And then there was no room to fly. So I went, Battlefront 2, I can't wait. Ended up being pretty much the same game.
Yeah,
it's like the same. They didn't
same game, more maps,
but with Jedi.
No, not even more maps. They had like it was almost all the original maps.
But they had Jedi.
They did have Jedi. So anyway, and then the other one, which you guys are probably not going to agree with, World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I know
I
why.
Really,
you, I know. What
I
you're
really, it looks great, and it is a honed version of a massively multiplayer game. It does everything that the old ones did better.
But really, it's the same thing.
Get quests, go kill.
All you are is level. The only thing you're doing is leveling up, and I kind of was hoping for more. So that's it for me.
It's true.
All right, real quickly, badass character award. Who's your favorite badass character?
I got a tie. The Stranger from Oddworld.
Okay.
Main character in that. And my Torin Shaman Engineer. Badass.
Okay.
I'd have to say Tati from Rise of the Kasai. In all the Mark of Kree games, they love the finishing death.
I gotta borrow that from you. I still haven't played it.
It's cool as hell. I haven't finished it, so it's quite snappy cool. It's
okay,
not as good as the first one.
Don,
I also have a tie. The character from God of War,
Kronos,
which was just the most fun I've seen. It's the most fun I've played any kind of character I've played in that genre of game.
Yeah.
And the other is hands down. I mean, I don't know how any of you guys didn't pick up on this. The character from the movies, Donald Marshall. Just the best actor in the entire goddamn game.
Right.
He's in the educational videos. He's in the sample movie in the game. Hmm. He's amazing.
Well, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Mine is Kronos. I mean, really, I felt like I was him while I was playing. Like, he moves so well.
Yeah.
And he did exactly what the button, like, when I press the button combo, he did exactly what I wanted him to do every time. It felt like he was, actually connected to me. Kronos, definitely.
And you have sex with nymphs.
Exactly. Anybody have a pet peeve in a game this
Absolutely.
Year?
Absolutely.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. What's your pet peeve?
Bring it, Peter.
Just general pet peeve from games. Lack of story.
Okay, tell me about it.
Lack of story.
Agreed.
Lack of creativity in story. Lack of creativity in game telling. There's two moments in games that have really struck me recently, and they struck me because of the similarity of them.
Mm-hmm.
One is in Halo, the first one, when you start it.
Mm-hmm.
And you start playing the game, and you don't have a weapon, and you're running around trying to avoid getting slaughtered, and you don't have a weapon, and you're terrified for your character.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I thought, what an interesting thing to do. How many people ever think about having something like that in a first-person shooter?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Also, interestingly enough, was it Call of Duty? Call of Duty, the Finest Hour?
Clip?
The beginning of the game, they're handing out rifles and clips. One rifle to one character, clip to the next. And you're the guy that gets handed the clip as you go running up. What location?
Stalingrad.
Bullets flying around, and you have to run and follow this guy and try not to get slaughtered.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
and wait for him to die.
And wait for him to die so you can grab his rifle. It's like, you know,
that actually pissed me off because the version you're talking about came out a year after the original Call of Duty, which did exactly the same scene.
Oh, really?
Exactly the same
and
scene.
And you worked on the original Call of Duty.
Yes.
But all the Call of Duties have, like, scenes. They're all starting to look the same a little bit. Like, Call of Duty 2, you're like,
It's really weird. No, Call of Duty 2 is different from Call of Duty 1, I think. But it's Call of Duty Big Red 1 that just ripped off Call of Duty 1 left and right. Mm. I just didn't understand it.
Interesting.
Pet peeve, Matt?
Evil genius. And I hope you don't have this problem when you play it. Do not make me play a game for 65 hours and then crap out and have no tech support for this issue and just say, ah, well.
Okay.
Done. Thank you.
My pet peeve. My pet peeve. Everyone who plays WoW, who played a paladin to level 60, knows my pet peeve. Those of us who picked the Holy Warrior never expected that the end game for us would be the wuss cake, the one unable to do damage and relegated to the healing role traditionally kept by priests. Please stop nerfing my paladin. I would very much like to participate in player versus player when I choose to do so and not be simply ignored by the other side until all my allies are dead. Thank you.
All right. My pet peeve is extended from the game Battlefield 2, the EA game. I'm sick and tired of EA having shitty online play.
Yeah.
They need to step up and like get it together.
How about that tennis game, man? That could have been so awesome, but had the worst online play.
Oh, Top Spin.
And it could have been great.
Yeah.
Could have been fantastic.
The funny thing about that is that there's only two people playing and it still had bad
luck. And it had longer load times than Halo with 15 or 20.
It was a great game. I mean, it was fun to play, though.
Ridiculous.
Okay. If you kill off a dying franchise release this year, what would it be?
Donnie?
Come back to me.
All right. Any game, sports game specifically, that begins with the prefix street.
Oh, yeah.
Street basketball, street football, street Done whatever.
It.
Street. Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it.
Okay.
You know, I had a hard time with this one. I really, you know, nothing jumped to my mind. So I kind of had to force it, and I kind of figured Blood Rain, you know. It's not like it's an awful, awful game or anything like that. Yeah, it was all right. It was kind of fun, you know.
It's never been great, though.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, the chick was kind of cute, I guess, you know. But
no, Laura Croft.
But the... oh, that's a geek moment. Between it and the movie, which I heard was awful, I just decided, you know, this needs to die.
Kill it off.
Yeah.
I'm going to put Unreal Anything.
Yeah.
Unreal one where they now it's like hand-to-hand combat came out, and it was lame. It's made for people who've already played it for 100 million years, so you had to be awesome at it when you started. And it's the same thing now. They really need to just kill it off and come up with a new concept that's just better. Just kill off the Unreal whatever. And that's mine. All right.
I guess the one I have to throw out there is unfortunately used to be one of my favorite games, SSX. The last two have gone down in flames for me.
Oh, the last one was great.
SSX 3, I didn't like. SSX.
You just don't like because they've eliminated the characters.
Because they've eliminated everything I enjoyed.
Right. Which were the characters.
Right.
The fun, zany courses.
Mm-hmm.
The fun feel of the tricks.
And
the differentiation between the costume, the characters, and the tricks. Every character is the same tricks now. It doesn't matter who you play. They're all exactly the same.
You can get the Uber trip.
And so what's the difference between it and Amped now?
Well,
explain.
Because Amped is like is more realistic. I mean, you can't go 100,000 feet in the air.
Amped is just a little bit more boring.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. All right. Okay.
All right. I think they peed all over their franchise.
Favorite game system this year? PC, Xbox, PS2, 360, PSP, Cube. Anybody here?
Do it again. Faster.
Mine's Xbox.
PC, Xbox, PS2, 360, PSP, Cube.
Very nice.
Excellent.
PC's for me.
PC's for you. Xbox's for me. Did me well.
PC.
I actually am really excited about my 360. I'm like, it doesn't have any.
Why,
really
yes, you are.
Amazing games. Oh, my God, that was bad.
wait until my punchlines.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, But I just love the design of it. I love how it's put together, and I'm hoping that the games will all follow through. But you know.
And well, you know, Geometry Wars.
Yeah, Geometry Wars is a lot of fun. That is really a amazingly addictive game.
All right, let's hit the drum roll.
All right, here we go. Finally, our favorite top five games that we've played this year. I'm going to start...
Number five.
With my number five. I'm going to put SSX on tour.
Oh.
I really had fun. I love...
Oh.
Really, the mountain really felt unified. It was very easy to go through the courses.
And boring.
No. And the new mini games that are all in there, knocking down all the rich kids and all those little mini games were hilarious. Definitely SSX on tour.
Yeah.
What's number five, Peter?
Actually, I'm going to start with my honorable mention, which is Deus Ex, which was a lot of fun. Not totally amazing. It had a few creepy moments when the ceilings disappeared, like, for example.
Oh, at the very beginning, yeah.
At the very beginning. But my number five was Ico.
Oh, okay.
Excellent. Number five for me was Def Jam Fight for New York. Purely because... You can kick Redman's ass, and he says, I'm going to rip out your tongue and wipe my ass with it, which is it's worth it for that one line.
Wow.
Right.
I feel naughty just listening to you. Despite it being probably the buggiest game I've ever played, Vampire Bloodlines is my number five.
Cool. Okay. Number four for me is Far Cry. Played on the Xbox, had a great time, especially when you got into beast mode and you can do super crazy jumps and tear people up with your hands. Very fun.
Peter? Number four?
My number four was God of War.
Number four.
Okay.
Number four for me was a tie between God of War and Jade Empire. I had an awful good time with Jade Empire, even though nobody else did.
If I had remembered Jade Empire, it would have been on my biggest disappointment list.
I loved it. I still liked it.
I'm biased, but my number four remains the movies. Just the game itself is fun, but the movie creation stuff is so much fun.
Yeah, I wish I could play. I want to come over to your house and play that.
Sure.
Number three for me, Shadows of the Colossus. Love the game. Was a little repetitive, but really, the great thing about the game is that I could play one Colossus a night, and then I was done, and then it felt like little mini episodes, and that was good for me.
Peter? Great.
Number three for me, because A, it's an old game, so I couldn't give it number one.
Okay.
Well, that's and B, C number A, was Halo. I only played Halo this year.
Okay. Right?
You know.
So you've played Halo this year?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Dug it out of the closet.
Number three, Shadow of the Colossus. Same reason as Aaron.
Number three for me, Soul Calibur 2.
Oh, went back more out of the closet.
It never went into the closet.
Okay. Number two for me, Brothers in Arms. Loved that game. Best World War II shooter out there.
Cool. Number two for me is World of Warcraft. Great game. Just fantastic.
The game that prevented you from playing all the other new games this year.
It has kept me from many other games. Yes. You know, level 41.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Number two for me, I just got it in December, right before New Year's. Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero.
God dang, that game's good.
Very nice.
I didn't know how much I rocked. I rocked on. I rock.
Number two for me is Civilization IV. Oh. Just one turn is a phrase that has returned to my life. Just one more turn. God damn it. Just one more turn.
All right. My number one of the whole year was God of War. I really felt that the action and timing and pacing of that game really just kept... I mean, I just kept wanting to play it on and on and on and on. I thought it was great.
God of War was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. But just the game that I just loved and just adored this time around was Oddworld Stranger's Wrath.
Okay.
There's something about that game.
Just and I don't know where my chaos theory fits in because I loved it so much.
Great game,
just
but
I don't know where, yeah.
We got to play the two player and then we'll figure it out. Number one for me, World of Warcraft, very simply. I've been playing it since the alpha, although it's getting a little tired now. I still been playing it for 2.5 years. So.
The same with me. I managed to put it down for a while. World of Warcraft is also my number one. Mm-hmm. I've come back to it, and I've discovered that it's a different game with each character you play.
Yep. Yes.
Just don't play paladins.
I also have to mention to you guys that your guild has moved.
Yeah. It moved out from underneath us.
Oh, we've gone back to Tychondrius.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I'm playing Alliance again.
Oh, well.
All right. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Woohoo!
Finally closed down 2005 on the video games. I hope you guys drop World of Warcraft so you can actually play some of the other great games.
I think I
By the way, Lisa,
soon.
Who was going to join us tonight, was really pissed.
Well, I was going to say we should throw out some of the games that we acknowledge we're not acknowledging because we didn't play them.
Yeah, she was pissed that Resident Evil 4 was not on our number one. She says it blows them
None of us played it.
That's right. Yeah. I told her we couldn't mention it because we couldn't play it.
Fear, none of us played it, which is also getting ridiculously high ratings.
I have a friend who's playing it and it's just rants about Fear.
Right.
I've heard great things about it, but my computer can't run it.
She wanted to mention some DS
PC?
Games.
It is out on PC, I believe.
Oh, got it.
She plays a lot of DS, Meteos, and Castlevania. She wanted to mention, she said, those two games alone is worth buying the DS for. I don't have a DS, so I hadn't played it. So she was wanted to make sure. And I know that she's bought an Xbox 360. And the only game she has played, she hasn't even put in a disc yet, is Geometry Wars.
Yeah.
She's had the game, the box for like a month now, and the only game she has played is Geometry Wars.
Well, she wants to have a Guitar Hero.
There are a couple games. It combines Robotron and Asteroids, two of the most successful games we've ever seen, with the graphic stylings of Tempest. How can you not love it?
Well, it's better than Tempest. It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Let's do our bit.
Let's do our bit.
Well, should we stop and save first?
Yes, we should. All right, so quickly, we did come up with a little bit this week.
A little bit.
A little bit of bit. And this week, we are going to give you some geek punchlines. So in other words, we're not going to give you the joke. We're only going to give you the punchline of the joke.
Yep.
Got it. These are hard, by the way. I mean, it takes like every ounce of brain power for me to come up with one of these things. And they're not that good. So anyway.
Okay, who here is proud of theirs tonight? Mm-hmm. They should lead off.
Match should start.
Oh, God. Great. Yeah, great me. Okay. My first one is, why do you think I call it my pocket protector?
Okay.
Okay.
So the seventh level gay barbarian half-orc says, KY jelly, no way, I always use gelatinous cube.
Oh, God.
Wow. I'm going to go sit in the corner with Matt.
All right, for those of you who watched the Golden Globe Awards, you might be able to get this joke, but otherwise you won't. Then Samwise, with a sheepish smile, says, "Don't worry, honey. Frodo and I are just going fishing."
I've got one that Aaron's really going to like.
Okay.
And it's a very personal one.
Oh, no.
So Aaron said to Matt, yes, running late, but in which direction? Yes, running late, but in which direction?
You have to know that I'm always running late.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. my second one. And the blonde says his disc was a 3.5-inch floppy. Jesus. No?
That's kind of funny.
It's and the blonde says, well, his disc was a 3.5-inch floppy.
We call it the aristocrats.
Floppy.
All right.
Floppy, that's actually pretty funny.
It's my tribute to Aaron.
Well, hey, why are everyone picking on me?
No, I'm playing off your last joke.
Oh, okay.
And so the rabbi says, Pokemon, I haven't even seen Brokeback Mountain. All right.
Okay.
All right. I like that.
Here's my last one. Luke turns to Han and yells, "You've got a bad feeling. Have you made out with Leia yet?" Blah. Come on, okay. That's kind of good, right? Jeez.
So Bush said, "Filler Buster, I didn't even touch her, Buster."
What are we doing this bit again?
I'm not sure.
Maybe we should just cut
some of these, you know?
Ready?
Include some of the bombs just for our hardcore listeners.
If this one doesn't go, I don't know what I do. What do you mean, Legolas? It's a drawbridge.
Okay. So we're going to do our bit this time.
Silence. All right, one last try. My third one.
Go, come on, close it out.
All right, I'm trying. All right. So Frodo says, "Well, it's 3 times as big as the one I wear on my finger, and I totally don't mind when Sauron gets his hands on it." All right.
Oh.
It's another ring you wear somewhere else.
Do we have any links or anything?
Moving on.
Took me a while.
Yeah.
Yes, we have awesome links. Actually, people must check these out. I'm going to show you guys after the show. First of all, this is from the NASA site. Image Spacecraft has taken a picture of an aurora from, I believe it's the Aurora Australis, the Southern Lights, on September 11th, and they took a series of pictures. So actually, you can see it kind of like a flip book or a fast motion, you know, a stop motion photography. So you can actually see what the aurora looks like from space. It's really, really slick ass cool.
All right, and you've got
go
to
check
link.
It out. And the other thing is, you must, I insist, capital M must, go to this link and listen to 3D. Holophonic surround sound. Get some earphones.
These are the guys from Dolby, right?
I don't know whether or not it is.
I think this is a Dolby Lab thing.
It might be. But you just plug in some earphones, put them on, and listen to this short clip. It's weird.
Yeah, it's very cool. Okay, I've got one. It's RPGlibrary.org. And it's a website that just has a whole bunch of links and files for people who to help them in their role-playing game systems.
Oh, cool.
And it's very cool. They even have, I believe, some links to like generic character silhouettes and stuff, so you can like put pictures to your characters, but all sorts of stuff. You definitely check it out, and we'll have
very
links
nice
to that. I had a letter, but I can't. I lost it. So maybe next.
I brought a letter. I lost too.
Okay, so maybe next week our bit will be catching up on mail.
Geek hate mail.
Geek hate mail.
We've done our bit.
Cool. Yeah,
I've lost track of which groups we've alienated. You really should come up with a scorecard.
All of them.
I
have
it
on my board back at home.
Cool.
All right. Well, let's close this down, everybody. Have a good geek week.
Have a most excellent geek week.
Excellent.
Be well.
Catch you guys later. Rock it out. Bye.